Let us read this together. I, John, your brother, and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Art. Appreciate your leading in worship and each and every one on the worship team. When I was a kid at my little church, the Christian Reformed Church in Red Deer, Alberta, had a vacation Bible school every year. And this week, as I was preparing this message, I thought of a song that we sang so often. And the theme of the message today is, I see that Jesus is the one who sees us, and he knows, and he sees our situation, the darkness of our own situation. And so I want us to sing together this little song from Vacation Bible School. I hope that you at home may know this. I'm sorry I just sprung this on the team here at the last moment. Give us a note. Let's sing it together. Jesus bids us shine, first of all, for him. Well, he sees and knows it when our light is dim. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. What a beautiful song, and what beautiful life and hope that spoke into my heart just as a 6 and 7 year old kid. So, thank you for playing that for us, Renee. I really appreciate that. John, the Apostle John, he's in his old age, and he has been thrown into prison. He's in exile. Because the Caesar, the emperor, Domitian, he's got it out for the Christians. He wants to crush the Christians and this gospel message out of the Roman Empire. And so John, as we have read, finds himself in exile on the island of Patmos on the day of the Lord, which is the first day of the week, on Sunday. And it is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is appropriate that it is on this day that Christ reveals himself in all his glory, in this radiance, like the full sun. But he's writing to these seven churches, And he's saying, I, a prisoner of the Lord, living in this dark place, I know that you also are living in a dark world. You in the churches, as they are found in present-day Turkey, places like Ephesus and Smyrna. So what he's doing, he's identifying with his readers. He's saying, I'm your brother, and I'm finding myself in the same difficult place of persecution and of darkness. But into that, he has this revelation, this appearance of Jesus Christ, who speaks life and light. And Jesus is saying, I know you. I know what you're going through. I see that. I'm not blind. Where you are in the place of suffering and of persecution, I want to speak a word of life and a word of hope. And if the book of Revelation is about anything, along with its dragons and its bowls of judgment and its many different ways of symbolically speaking that Christ is on the throne, he is the king, he is the conqueror, he is the first and the last. He who conquered death, I was dead, but now I live forevermore. I hold the keys to hell and death. That's our Jesus. He has been given that authority by God the Father. What a beautiful thing that is, that we serve that Christ. And so in the book of Revelation, we see the love of Jesus for his church. It is a word of comfort, but it is also a word of challenge. There are seven churches in this circular letter. And if you are familiar with those churches, you know that the island of Patmos is just 40 kilometers off of the coast from the city of Ephesus, which now, of course, lies in ruin. At that time, it was one of the great cities of the Roman Empire. And Paul spent a year and a half in the city of Ephesus, and he spoke and he taught, and many, many people came to faith in Jesus Christ. He planted the church there. And others went from Ephesus up the road, 30 kilometers to the coast, to Smyrna, present-day Izmir, and they planted a church there. And then they went up north. And it's like the circuit riders of the 19th century. They're running and they're taking their mail all around. And in each place, this letter was to be read in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Philadelphia and Thyatira and so on and so forth until they get to the last place of Laodicea. And so John is sharing this good news with those churches. But we must understand that the message is not just for them, but it is also for us. For all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and training in righteousness. That each and every one of us, with this equipping, may do the work that we're called to do. So John is writing this letter, and he's saying, I saw a vision of Jesus. And Jesus was like the Son of Man. And I've mentioned to you before that there are scores, hundreds of direct references in the book of Revelation to the Jewish scriptures. Some people today are in the habit of taking Revelation and looking at the world events as they are now and trying to fit all those things into that. I would challenge you in some ways, because every Christian generation has tried to do that, that at best, it's a nice exercise. At worst, it could be a waste of your time. So we see that John is writing this letter and he's making references to the Son of Man. And that goes back to the book of Daniel, where Daniel is seeing his own visions and he's writing in this apocalyptic literature with so many symbols and so much things that are hard to comprehend that mean something else. But over and over again, we see the word Son of Man, the Son of Man. And that was the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would come to rescue the people out of their exile in Babylon, and the one who promises to lead you out of your exile, wherever you find yourself. As we sang in that song, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in that water. That was the people of Israel coming through to the promised land, through the Red Sea. And in the same way, today, we know that God rescues us from whatever drowning deluge that the enemy would throw at us. Amen. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is the one who has called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light. But understand this. Those people there, just like John, were living in a dark world full of hatred and persecution, where it was difficult to live as a Christian. And he speaks to these seven churches, and to two of the churches, he says, you're doing well. I have no criticism of you. To all the churches, he reveals who he is, and we'll be getting into that in the next 7 weeks. He identifies himself, and then he speaks to the church words of comfort, and to five of the churches, he speaks a word of admonition. To the church at Ephesus, for example, he says, I know your works, but you've become lukewarm in your faith. Where's your love for me? It's not like it first was. Where's your love for the people of God? It's not like it used to be. And here is a word of admonition to the church, our church, because Jesus stands with us in our church today, amongst the golden lampstands, as it were. What is that a reference to? In the temple, the Jewish temple, there was a beautiful candelabra, otherwise known as a menorah. Seven sticks, okay? In 70 AD, mind you, that's 25 years before what we understand to be the writing of this. So it's already history. That menorah was hauled off by Titus in the sacking of Jerusalem. He obliterated that. He raised it to the ground. And you'll see in Rome, to this day, there is an ark of triumph over the Jewish people, boasting of the victories of Titus. And there you see very clearly that they are walking off with this menorah. The presence of the Lord in a very real place had been taken from the temple. And that is what Jesus predicted in Matthew when his disciples said, isn't this awesome? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't this amazing? We have a beautiful city and the temple is one of the seven wonders of the world. And Jesus said, within this generation, all of that is going to be wiped out. But he had a promise for us because he said, the temple will no longer be in a certain place. In Zion. But when the Spirit comes on Pentecost, God will dwell with His people. He will put His Spirit in each and every one of you. Amen. We are the temple of the living God. He stands amongst us and He has given us life. So in the imagery of Revelation, we see this picture, metaphorically speaking, that this menorah that once stood in the now destroyed temple, Jesus stands amongst them and it represents the Spirit of the churches, the Holy Spirit in all the churches. And seven is a symbolic number. What does it mean? Fullness, completeness. I think that we should see this as Christ saying, I stand in the midst of every community of my people, wherever we are. You know, in Judea and in Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. And so these seven churches, the message to the seven churches is not just for them, but it is for all churches for all time. Jesus stands in the midst and he has these seven stars in his right hand. And it explains it. He says, as to those stars, I know you're a little bit confused, John, because this is kind of crazy stuff that you're seeing. After all, he was so shocked, he fell before Jesus as though he were dead. And Jesus, in his own beautiful and loving way, touched John and said, don't be afraid. Fear not. When we come into the presence of our great and glorious God, he welcomes us. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I will uphold you. Surely I will uphold you, the scripture says, with my righteous right hand. That's a quote from Isaiah. So even that's a reference. With his righteous right hand, he is touching his servant. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he promises to do that for each and every one of us today. He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. But he has a word for us. And he says, it's a little confusing, these seven stars. What are these seven stars all about? As to that, those are the angels of the seven churches. Now, you have to understand that the Greek word for angel is messenger, sent one. If we think of those as literal angels, it gets kind of confusing because, you know, there's challenges made to the churches and to the leaders of the churches. And we know that those angels are perfect. So a better interpretation, I would submit to you, my brothers and sisters, is that the messengers are the pastors of the seven churches. And he's saying to them, you are given authority and responsibility to teach and lead my people in each one of these cities. And so here's a message of warning to you, my messengers. And we know in a different place where Paul says to Timothy, I've fought the good fight. Now I challenge you as I pass the baton to you, for you to do the same thing. Stay true to sound doctrine, because in this world you will be pummeled and bombarded by false teaching. We need to be aware of that fact, because as Paul said in Romans 12, give yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. This world will constantly try to press you into its mold, but resist that. Rather, be transformed by the renewal of your mind in Christ. Okay? So whatever time or place the world has always tried to cram believers into its mold, its way of thinking. And we live in a country right now where we are being bombarded on every side with that. And there are so many levels to it. We need to genuflect at the altar of materialism in this culture. You can't turn the TV on, you can't open your computer, but you're bombarded. Here's your best life. You know what you need? You need this, 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 and this. Now, those are beautiful things, and I'm not saying that that is not okay to have a nice car to drive, or a beautiful home, or maybe even a new coffee pot. But if you are making those things ultimate in your life, like the world does, then we're lost. Those are gifts. See, we need to focus our eyes on the giver of those gifts. But the world too often focuses its eyes on the gifts themselves because they have rejected the giver. So they're teaching their message, the internet, TV, we're bombarded on every side with worldly thinking. And one of the criticisms of Christ to his church is that you are conforming to the mold of the image of this world. And he says, if you continue to do that, you will lose your witness. You will lose that which is most important about you. So again, Jesus is speaking a word of love. He says, I know you. I see you. I care for you. And I challenge you. As we are in the Word today, and as we are in the Word every day, and I hope and pray that every one of you are feeding on the Word of God in your own personal devotions every day. For it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When we as a church, or even we as a nation, have lost our way, let us turn to the Word, and let us turn to the one eternal Word, the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, who loves us, who sees us, who knows exactly where we're at, and he speaks a word of love and of challenge to each and every one of us.